السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله، إن الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل مولود يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينسرانه أو يمجسانه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and elders listening over the receivers, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us such comforts and luxuries and peace. And you know, we are going through a very relatively comfortable life in different aspects. And I'm talking about in the context of what is happening in different parts of the world. It is in Jamaica, where there is a hurricane there, that so much of flooding and damage that is taking place. Or if you look at our brothers and sisters in Sudan and the challenges they're going through, and obviously we know what is happening in Gaza. In comparison, in that context, alhamdulillah, we have to be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us great amount of comfort and ease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people in different ways. Then perhaps the test that they are being put through, if somebody is being through floods, you know, other people are type of wars, and different tests Allah put people through. But we shouldn't also forget that being in a comfortable situation, whether it's financially, as far as your health goes, could also be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it could be even a greater test. A person who is in that situation, he can see like it's a test because the challenges he's going through, the difficulties he's going through. So he sorts of now turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what could happen is that the person who is in a comfortable situation, his health is good, financial situation is good, he got a nice home, mashallah, nice masjid to perform salah, everything is going well, then he could perhaps forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he could get distracted and carried away with the temptations of this dunya. And he could be shifted away in a way that he didn't realize also. And with the temptations of this dunya could take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who is in a comfortable situation is also put through a test. And we should be very, very mindful about that. And sometimes it can drag us away and take us away in such a way we don't even realize that we're getting sucked up in this rat race and this chakkar of this dunya and the materialistic environment that we're living in, that we forget about the reality of the hereafter. We start getting so much involved in wastage, extravagance, and start doing all these business deals because the temptation is so much, and we get sucked into that environment and forget about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person can be tested also in that situation, and therefore we have to be always on guard. And don't ask Allah to put us in a situation of tests and difficulties like many of our brothers and sisters are experiencing in other parts of the world. At the same time, be on guard. That doesn't mean that our situation is in comfort. We are not being tested. We are being tested in different ways. Allah has given you these comforts. Allah has given you wealth. How are you using this wealth? Allah has given you health. How are you using this health? It's very, very important to be on guard with regards to this. So, but today's discussion, I just thought that small introduction that came, I wanted to focus on a very important component of our society. And alhamdulillah, many of us, we obviously come and we are born into families. We come, there's a mother, there's a father, there's a son, there's a daughter, there's uncles and there's aunts, there's close family members, the little bit extended family members, some have bigger, you know, more broader family members. So this family unit that exists is also a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be appreciative of this family unit and make an effort to maintain this family unit, this bondage, whether it is the father and mother and the son, our parents and the son relationship, or whether it is your uncle and aunts, or whether it is the grandparents. Each one of them are very, very critical and important part of a family unit. And if that family unit is maintained, then inshallah, the society also will be contained. There will be unity in that. If there is unity in the family members, then inshallah there will be unity in our community, there will be unity in our country, and unity in the ummah. But once that family unit is disintegrated, they don't have unity amongst them, then the ripple effects, the implications of it, is that the family unit breaks up, and then the society becomes, there's problems in our society, and then there's problems in the community, and then there's problems in the ummah. So as much as we're looking globally, as much of the problems that the ummah is facing, and the politics that is going on in the world, but my focus of today's discussion is on the fabric of our family units, and how important it is for us to maintain that family unit, as I said. So that will be my discussion for today. If you look about, think about it, this concept of a family in Islam is very, 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 very important. It started off with Adam alayhi salam, if you have to really go back into history, because Adam alayhi salam was one man. Immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for him a spouse, a wife. So now there's a husband and we have a wife. Obviously, there's another discussion altogether about the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife and what they need to do for each another. I don't want to go too much into that discussion that we have heard a lot about, but that's also important. But then subsequently now, when the husband and wife are together, then they get a child, a son and a daughter. Now what happens in that situation? Now the family unit, that's what the family, how it sorts of then grows. So you have a father, you have a male, you have a female, as if Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, then they had sons on marriage, and that's how the family unit was created. So that was how initially it is. And now everywhere in our own family circles, there's a father, there's a mother, right? And then there's the son and the daughter. So that we say is a family unit. But we have extended families as well. Now this, each one of them, these long, as I said, bayans on its own, about the rights of the father, the rights of the mother, the rights of the children, the responsibilities, and how they can maintain the unity and the love between that family unit. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in a hadith. He says something to the effect that every child, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra, that every child is born upon a natural disposition. It means simply, if this child was left without any interference of the environment and the society, then he would have gained the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart would have been connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is now the interaction that he has, the circles that is around him. It either is mother, abawahu, mother or father, yuhawidanihi, they now influence him. Either he's going to follow a certain religion, become a Christian or a Jew, or whatever habits that he gets. It starts off from the home environment, from the mother and the father, what type of environment and society they created within the home for the child to grow up. So now therefore it's crucial, it's fundamentally important to understand that firstly there's a family unit, Allah has created it, it's actually even you can say like a miracle in its own, you know, look for miracles. Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, it's amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, how Allah has created a husband and a wife. It's a great miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we're looking for miracles, because you got this lady or this woman who came from a different family. You got this man who came from a totally different family. And now they're getting together and they have to live as husband and wife, and they sacrifice everything else. So much so that they now give preference to each another over their own parents at times, and how they begin to interact and love each another and have time for each another. It's a miracle in itself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brings about this child, and the responsibility now that this parent has towards this child is very, very important. So this brings about this family unit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is a role model and an example for us now in this family unit. How did he, or what are some of the steps, or what are some of the lessons that we can extract from his lifestyle and his teachings that we can implement so that we maintain the family unit? Because as I said, many of the issues we find in our community nowadays, even amongst the kids, if you do a sort of a survey, and to see that amongst the children, their behavioral issues, or children are suffering academically, they cannot concentrate, they're not performing well in their work, it actually boils down to many times that there is instability, insecurity, or there is not a strong family unit. So if you take a child A, and you look, now this child is performing, alhamdulillah, academically well, he is spiritually being well, he is stable, a bit focused. Usually, obviously there are exceptions, but we'll find many a times it's because he is coming from a home where the family unit works together, they gel together. The mother, the father, the children, they are full family unit, so the child also is progressing. On the other hand, you see, child is not performing academically well, has some discipline issues, or can't concentrate. If you go to the root of the problem many times, but in fact lots of times, it boils down to that environment at home. There is some type of friction between husband and wife. There is no stability in that family. They're not spending time together, in quality time together. So that has a very detrimental impact on the child, and as I said, now on the community. So the Prophet ﷺ has given us different things that we could do as a family. And very importantly, it starts off by first, when you come home, when a man comes home, or anybody comes home, even the wife went out and came back, or the child comes back, you have to start off by making salam. And the salam has to be made aloud. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith, a sahabi came, mentioned that he complained about poverty, that there is no, you know, insufficient wealth, he's experiencing difficulty financially. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him that whenever you come home, make sure you make the salam loud, even if there's nobody at home. And then he taught him, he said, you recite Durood Sharif, and then you may recite Surah Ikhlas. So the Sahabi says, I put that into practice. I started making salam, reading Durood Sharif, and reading Surah Ikhlas whenever I came home. He said that Allah brought about so much of barakah that now even began to support my neighbors. So it's important to start off by making salam whenever we enter our houses. It's important, again, everybody is coming with major issues at work, and challenges at workplace, wherever it is. But when we come home, we should try at least to start off with a smile. Smiling is a great form of sadaqah. We're smiling at everybody else, at work, and the customers, and the people that we've seen. But when it comes to the home environment, we find that there is this lack of smiling with one another. The husband and the wife need to smile. And the smiling is a form of sadaqah. It increases the love and muhabbah that is required to maintain that family. Then, after that also, a family needs to engage in constructive actions together. Today what's happening, we got a physical family that is there. So they're physically living in one home, physically only. But in their mind, in their soul, in their spirit, they are actually, everybody is in different parts of the world. So you have a mother, father, son, daughter in the house, physically they're there. But very few homes you'll find where they are doing things together, where their minds are there together, and they're spiritually also sitting together. So therefore we have to consciously do activities where the family is sitting as a unit. Everybody is busy. You ask them today, everybody is busy. I got this thing to do, that thing to do. And then one of the biggest problems is the cell phone that we have. So you have to set out rules in your home and say, okay, from this time to that time, cell phones aside, no matter how important, maybe otherwise there's not going to be this unity that we need. Phones have to be kept aside. And we have to now consciously come back as a family unit. So now we're going to eat together. What's happening now also, the mother is eating her own time, father is eating his own time, son and daughter, they're doing their own things. They're not even eating together. So now as a family unit, in order to maintain that family unit, we have to start making it a point and consciously doing things together. And you have to start like a simple thing that we would have taken for granted before. Now we have to tell people, please, you need to do this. As a family unit, sit down. Call a mother, call a father, if there's granny, extended family members, son, daughter, everything aside. You've got studying to do, you've got that. All one side. When it's time for eating, we all need to sit down and eat together. There's barakah in that. And when we're eating together, there's also so much of sunnah and how we can increase the family muhabba is we try and eat from one plate. I don't know how many families can say that me and my wife or my children and I, we eat together from one plate. As I said, it's far-fetched now, even eating their own times. But look at where we need to get to. We firstly need to make sure we get together to eat at one time. And then when we eat, we must try and eat together from the same plate. And you take a morsel of food and put it in your wife's mouth. These are things, not only in honeymoon phase when you got married, you did that now, the rest of the life, it doesn't happen. These are practices that we need to make sure that continues throughout our life in order to maintain this family unit. When the husband and wife do this, then the children are observing. My father, when he comes home, he's making salam, he's hugging his wife, smiling at his wife, talking to her nicely. Then when he becomes a father or he becomes a husband, the daughter when she becomes a parent, then they will inshallah learn that. So we need to start sitting together and eating. And obviously on a table, if four people are eating and four people are sitting with a cell phone, then the son wants sugar from the mother, he'll WhatsApp the mother, please pass me the sugar. That's how they'll send him some type of message. So we have to have rules in our place, in place for the sake of the unity and the family unit to remain together. So like that now, a family also that plays together, inshallah, will remain and stay together. So we also have to now make special point of having some type of ta'lim at home. Again, it's like simple things. What I'm saying is not like a rocket scientist, complicated things. But unfortunately, if we have to do an audit of our lives, these are the simple things that have come out of our lives. We're looking for complicated solutions, and the solutions are not there. To bring back that family muhabba, it lies in implementing these simple things. Salam, smiling, eating together, praying together. Don't we hear about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He taught us, when you get married, then the husband will perform salah and the wife performing salah behind. So we're not advocating for that to happen because the men need to go to the masjid. But as far as sitting together and taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dhikr, as far as sitting together and taking the name of Allah as a family unit, then let's take out the book, whether it's Hadith al-Sahaba or Fazail al-Amal or Riyad al-Saliheen, and read together. Talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's only goodness that is going to come if we do these things. And we also need to play together. Again, these are all not like from my pocket. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle and is an example for us. Didn't he and Aisha radiallahu anha, how many examples we can see? They had races together. We are playing together. That kept the family unit together. So are we doing that? But we got time. The man is playing golf, fishing, with all everybody else doing paddle and everything else he's doing, but not with his family members. Not with his school. He's got time for his friends and everything else. But with his wife and his children, this element also is lacking. Where they are spending quality time in a relaxed environment with each other. Quality time. And what we think, okay, I've paid the rent. Gave my wife a cell phone. I gave my daughter a cell phone. You think we have done justice? No, we don't require all of those things. It's about quality time in the context of how I am saying it. Then also there is an element of exchanging gifts, making space for one another. The wife comes and makes space for each another. They come and sit next to me. Let's talk. Let's engage in discussion. These are simple aspects that we need to make sure, and we need to go make a concerted effort to bring in our lives. Then we also have these dynamics. In each home may have different dynamics. Like if you have, let's say, a child who is not your own child. Now you have to also accommodate, and this also make it part of your family. Why I'm saying this? Because again, unfortunately, we have many, many homes where there is divorces. So now, unfortunately, it has become so common. So now you got a lady who got her own children, and a man got her child, and now they come with their stepchildren. How do you now accommodate for all of that? Also is important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many wives, and there's great hikmah and wisdom in that. One of his wives was Umm Salama, and she was married to Abu Salama, and they had a very good relationships with each another. They loved each another, and she said that I don't know if I'll find even a better husband than Abu Salama. But when he passed away, she recited the dua that we are taught to recite when you go through a difficulty and calamity. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minha. That we come from an Allah, and to Allah is our return. O Allah, you reward me in this difficulty, and O Allah, you grant me better in replacement. So she began to think to herself, who can be better than Abu Salama? I don't think so, there'll be anybody better than. Nevertheless, she made the dua, and once her iddat was completed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to see her. And in the discussion, she raised three things, like sort of three issues that, okay, we're talking about marriage, but I have three issues. Number one, she says that I'm extremely possessive person, and that could perhaps become a barrier between us in our relationship. Number two is I'm old now, I'm a little bit elderly. And number three, I have my own children. So she put her cards on the table that yes, we want to get into a relationship, but these are the challenges I have. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that point already consoled her, and he said, as far as your first concern, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort that problem out. There will be some way that will be rectified. It's not something we should be too worried about right now. It will be taken care of. The second issue is that you are old. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am also aging now. So we are on the same page here. And as far as your child goes, your child is going to be treated as my child. In other words, how I will treat my own child, I'm going to treat your child as well. So coming back to that point, we are living in a context and as an environment, as I said, now there's a, divorces are prevalent, people are getting into relationship. Alhamdulillah, life needs to carry on. But how we treat each and others, if there's stepchildren involved, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we need to now embrace the stepchildren and treat them as your own children, because now, again, it's about maintaining that family unit that is very, very critical. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also spoke about, the example is given of another sahabi, and it's a lengthy incident, but the point I'm getting to is about how the family needs to bond together and work together so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant barakah in their home, and the children that will continue inshallah with the legacy of that family. So the incident is mentioned about, that was I told you about, was Umm Salama. And there was another sahabi by the sahabiya by the name of Umm Sulaim. She was married, and she had a son by the name of Anas radiallahu anhu. So now, when Sulaim got separated from her first husband, then another person by the name of Abu Talha wasn't a Muslim at that time. He wanted to propose in marriage. So there was a discussion. So Sulaim said, no, I cannot get married to you because you're a mushrik. He wasn't a Muslim. Abu Talha wasn't a Muslim. So Abu Talha said, no, maybe you don't want to get married to me because it has something to do with gold and silver. So to prove a point, he said, okay, I will marry you, and the mahar for us will be that your acceptance of Islam. That's a unique thing. You don't have to pay any money, but the mahar will be that if you accept Islam, I'll be happy with that, and we'll get married. So he went to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm just sort of quickly going through the incident. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad wa anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluh. And then they were subsequently married, and the incident goes about how they had a child. And then one day when he came back from home, from work, she went to him and she gave him supper or meals, and they had relationships. And then she very, very nicely said to him that, you know, if somebody gives you a trust, then what is the responsibility as person that is keeping the trust? You give it back when the owner wants it. Then she said, well, the child that we had was a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an amanat. So keeping in mind that the children that we have, the families that we have, is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace, has given us the trust. So it's a trust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this child as a trust. He took this child away. So now he was shocked. Why didn't you tell me when I came? And he was unhappy with what happened. Why didn't she tell him earlier? So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sort of complained that, look at my wife, she didn't even tell me that the child has passed away. But nevertheless, the Prophet engaged in any type of relationships, and then when the answer was given in the affirmative, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. And then they had a child. It mentioned in the narration that the child's name was Abdullah. The child's name was Abdullah. And the narration goes on further that because of the relationship and the time that they had for each other, the husband and wife, the sabr that she exercised, how she fulfilled the rights of her husband, maintained the family muhabbat and the unity, Allah blessed them that in their progeny, it mentioned nine of them were amongst those who were renowned scholars with regards to the Quran. So look at this. I just gave two quick incidents to give us an idea about how family units need to work and gel with each another. And as I said, these are the simple things that I just sort of proposed that we put into practice so that the family units remain together. And appreciate, if you have a family, it's a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ahl, Allah mentions the Quran also, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. The greatest responsibility we have towards each another, yes, we provide the food and the shelter, but the greatest responsibility we have is to work towards achieving the common goal, and that is making each another's akhirah. As a father, I must help my wife, my children, or as a male, I must help my wife, and as a wife, I must help my husband. Each one of us should have one common goal, and that is making our akhirah. What can we do to ensure that each one of us are going to be successful in the akhirah? How can we help each another? So whether it's waking up the husband and wife or the children for Fajr Salah, or making sure that nothing happens in the home that is going to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be in this together. We all have to work together because we are one team, and each one of us are trying to achieve one goal. You see, together everybody achieves more. Team, together, everybody works, they'll achieve more, inshallah. But if each one have their own agendas, and we don't have this common goal, then there'll be frictions and problems in families and societies. So may Allah subhanahu give us the tawfiq. Just to summarize, the crux of the discussion was about maintaining family units. How important is the first family? Was Adam alayhi salam and his wife, and then his children, and subsequently Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with his family, and two or three incidences in the life of Sahaba or the family, and some simple steps that we should try and keep and practice in our homes so that this family unit is maintained. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.